Hi, and welcome to the Expansion Podcast, the podcast for podcasters and lovers of the audio space, hosted by myself, Mo, aka Mo Actually UK on Twitter, and my co-host.
I am Stavros.
Yes. So me and Stav have come together as two somewhat experienced podcasters to talk all things podcasting, including content, audio, industry news and more. And we like to share our views, but we don't always agree. But that's okay. It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So on this week's episode, Stav, shall I just jump straight to it? That it's our season finale?
Yep, go on.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So we've come to end of season one. It's very sad news, but we will be back. I promise. I know it sounds weird saying that. It sounds like there's animosity there or something.
Of course, there's plenty of beef. I don't know why you're promising on my behalf. Go ahead, do that.
It's true, actually. We've actually not discussed the terms of our breakup, or our break, sorry.
Oh, my wife's going to love hearing this.
Can I just make it clear that you cannot start, you know, talking to other podcasters during our break? You need to respect each other.
You can make it clear that that's what you've said. And I can make it clear that I'm my own man and I can do what I want.
We're just taking time apart to work on ourselves, and then we're going to come back together as at the PowerPod partnership that we are.
I like that. PowerPod partnership.
Yeah, that's a lot of P's. Okay, so I'm going to throw it over to you to start the conversation for this week. What we got this week, Stav?
Well, first of all, Mo, this week we have Joe Rogan and the censoring of his content on Spotify. So this week, as we're recording, or today, Joe Rogan has now transferred his back catalogue to Spotify. It's still around everywhere else for a few weeks before it gets locked off, and it's exclusive to Spotify, apart from Clippets, which they'll have on YouTube. But the full episodes will be video and audio only on Spotify within a few weeks. But over 100 episodes haven't made the move. He's got a vast catalogue. Well over 1,000 shows, which is mad.
Gosh, actually. That's a lot of audio.
I know. It's mad. Well over 1,000 shows, but over 100 episodes, many of those with many of the most controversial guests he's had on his show haven't made the move over to Spotify. And some of his fans are not happy about it, and they see it as the downfall of Rogan and podcasts as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't listen to the Joe Rogan podcast. I don't think I'm the target audience anyway. But when I saw the list of episodes that they had basically missed out, they said stuff from people potentially that racist. There was one episode where it was about encouraging oral sex on women comedians. So I was like, okay, it makes sense that those have been left out. So I wanted to ask you, would you say if Spotify were like, hey, here's the money, would there be episodes of your podcast of ESN that you would just leave out the mix? Or it's an all or nothing kind of guy?
Well, I've got to be honest, if I got paid enough, then I'm sure I would leave out some episodes if need be.
Yeah.
So that's me. On my other podcast, we have a voting system. There's 5 of us. So conveniently, there's always a decision. Yeah. So it'd go down to that. I have bought before, like if we were given copious amounts of money to do X, Y, and Z. And like the majority of them have said, no, they wouldn't do this. I was like, okay, well, I'm talking like decent money as well. So we'll see. We'll see. Who knows if it ever happens. But apparently my co-hosts on the other podcasts have much more morals than I do. I'm willing to sell out for the money.
You're like, yeah, sure. Okay.
That's why me and you get along so well, Mo.
Yeah. I'm like, sure, I'll delete it. Stab who? Whatever.
Well, I forget episodes, just the whole host, you know. Yeah. No, I think as it stands, I'm precious about the podcast because it's my baby and I've put a lot of work into it. But I don't make any money from it. So if somebody was to say, look, here is some money for your work, would you be willing to forfeit this or that to make that money? Then now it's we're in a different dynamic. It's a, it's not a job, but it's in that realm. And there are certain things you have to do to earn money that you don't want to do sometimes. This is life for most people. I'm sure there are some people in life where they do exactly what they want and make all the money they need. But I haven't reached that status yet. So I'm living in the situation now where I work to do things where I don't want to do to make money that I need to do to feed myself and my family. Mm. So that would just be another, the way I'd see it is that this is another way of doing it. Unfortunately, it's now encroaching on my creativity. But so yeah, it might dig me a little bit, but who knows? I'll probably get over it if the money's good enough. And yourself?
Well, to be honest, my one is not even just with the money. I think over the years, probably my views have changed on certain topics. So I don't think I've said anything like majorly controversial or had anything that's major controversial on my podcast. But if I had, then yeah, maybe I would just be like, okay, this I can take out of the collection. So yeah, and definitely if they were offering me money, I would consider it. But I think I would even consider it myself. So say, for instance, I don't know, we always say Spotify, but say if Apple Podcasts were like, we want to take your show to the next level and put all this marketing in it, I might even just look through my back catalogue for my own purposes to see if there's anything that I wouldn't want out there on like a mass scale.
I hear you. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, with us being so long in the game or having episodes, so I'm in my early 40s now. I've got episodes from when I was in my early 30s.
Mm.
And like you said, yeah, different mind frame. I was a single man back then. Now I'm a married man with a kid. So it's a difference, isn't it? So I don't actually think I would do it, but it does make sense when you put it that way that, you know, there are things that you may have said or done back then that you're not exactly proud of. But for me, it's almost like, well, this is the badge of my growth and who I am. It's for me to take it away. It's not a true representation of myself.
Right.
So it is what it is, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of this? Do you feel, because a lot of the criticism has come about people saying that this is like censoring the podcast space, that this is the whole point of it. It's like, you know, it's free speech. You talk the talk. It's out there. What do you think about that? Now that the big corporates are getting involved, it's feeling like they're sanitizing everything. Do you think that's a fair criticism?
Potentially, but I don't know why they've been taken off yet.
That is true.
I don't know why they've been taken off. I'm not a big fan of censorship, especially with podcasts. Like we've said in the past, it's not really the realm that we feel censorship is necessary or needed, you know, on mass anyways, or in a big sense. So, and Joe Rogan I don't listen to his podcast either, but the impression I get is that he's a bit raw and he has guests on that have something to say that maybe they wouldn't have this opportunity in other spaces. And he likes to have a dialogue where he's growing and learning and, you know, finding out new things or talking to people that might not have the same views as him. And I like that way of thinking. Mm. So if they're removing those things because, oh, these people don't follow the mainstream, then I'm not a fan of that. But on the flip side, it's their content, and if when I say they, I mean Joe, it's his content, and if he's happy to do that for whatever reason, maybe it's the same reason you're talking about, it could be that he decided, you know, now that I've moved to this bigger platform, because he's always in controversy, every couple of weeks it seems that there's another hashtag about get rid of Joe Rogan, that, you know, people don't like Joe Rogan. Maybe he said, this is a fresh page for me as I'm joining Spotify, there's a new page and I'm going to get rid of some of the older problematic content.
Right.
And and start off and not bring those people onto my platform anymore. Because I know he's had criticism for bringing in people like Alex Jones or Milo on his platform, where people feel you shouldn't have these kind of voices. You shouldn't give them a voice. If you have the biggest podcast or one of the biggest podcasts in the world, you shouldn't be giving them a platform to spout hate or racism or whatever, or sexism or whatever it is.
No, I get that. I get that. It'll be interesting. Especially it'll be interesting to hear from him why the episodes have been removed, or even if they, even if he even bothers addresses it. So let's see.
We will see.
So sticking with the Spotify theme, they announced that they have signed Ricky Thompson and Denzel Dion in a new podcast. So if you have the internet and you like a good meme, you've probably seen them as like a meme or like a little kind of like short TikTok or something like that. So they are like celebrity like influencers. So I think Ricky Thompson is the more famous one. So they're best friends. They do like fashion and lifestyle. They became famous through, I think it was, what's that? Through Vine. And now they have YouTube and TikTok and Spotify for hello. We can utilize their already huge fan base and try and transfer that into podcast listeners.
Interesting. Between the two of them, they have close to 5 million followers on
social media. That's a lot of people. Gosh.
I don't know. It's just another steamrolling of Spotify signing up who they need to sign up to make what they need to make. So, I mean, it's almost like we're treading ground now, going through the same thing. We've had a theme of, I think if we could have an overarching theme of the season, and by the way, it was always planned to be 10 episodes, just in case.
Did I not mention that?
No. This is episode 10. You can count them. So it was always planned to be 10 episodes.
Yeah.
The overarching theme has been Spotify and their big move. If we had done this expansion 2018, late 2018, Spotify wouldn't have been mentioned. Or the mention would have been, why haven't Spotify opened up, you know, for podcasts?
Yeah.
Now it's like they are the biggest thing. So it's just another step in that, or another brick in that house that they're building. I think they're going to run out of money soon because they don't have an infinite amount of money. So these deals will slow down.
Mm.
Whenever season two comes around, I would anticipate that they're doing other avenues, as opposed to just, here's a few million to this person or here's a few million to that person. They might have to think smart, change how their app works, do different things to make their house. But as it stands now, they're dealing with comedians, musicians, politicians,
influencers,
etc. Yes.
So the reason why I bring up the topic is, I mean, we've discussed it before in terms of people getting these big podcast deals because they're popular, they have a fan base, that's already established. So Spotify are like, okay, or any other platform, are leveraging that fan base that's already made. I kind of feel it's squeezing the average podcaster like me or you, the ones that got together with their friends and said, let's start a podcast. It's slightly squeezing us out. And I do think that there's this trend of celebrities being like, okay, I'm going to do a bit of that now to start, another income stream because I'm famous. So, I can do a bit of podcasting, or I might, start my own, website, or which is a big trend at the moment, I might just start at OnlyFans. And there's like people that are like, okay, I'm earning like good money. We're like, okay, now these celebrities are coming in and taking, quite a big piece of the pie, really. So the recent example was Bella Thorne doing OnlyFans. And then because of all the controversy around that, OnlyFans changed their how they pay their creators. So a lot of people are quite angry about that. So what do you think? Is it Do you see that trend, or am I just being, I don't know, bar humbug?
Before we continue with the trend, who is Bella from? Because I saw this story and I didn't
know. Okay. So she is like one of these like previously like Disney kids, you know, like these like teen stars. I'm not sure if it's like Disney or Nickelodeon or one of those, okay, but she's come up through that route. And I think she's maybe similar age to like a Zendaya. And so she decided that her story is that she wanted to normalize sex workers. So she set up her OnlyFans, but the only thing is she implied that people would be getting naked pictures of her, but they didn't. So they requested refunds, which OnlyFans had to honor. And I think considering it was in the region of $2 million. So OnlyFans were like, right, we're going to implement a thing that we don't pay creators until after 30 days. They've kind of put a cap on how much you can charge. So these things were changed following the controversy around her.
I see. Okay, thank you. All right, let's get back to podcasting now.
Back to podcasting, yes.
Yes, so to answer your question, yes, I do see that trend, but this is how it has always been with media. Mm-hmm. This is nothing new. If we're looking at, so let's go before social media, whether it was radio or TV, there were people and they did something and then it became popular and then the popular people moved on to that space.
Yeah.
Or the people on that space became popular and then they moved to another space. But it's always been the case where it's things start from a grassroots and then when it grows to a certain level, the popular people say, oh, it's on our radar now. Let's go there and make some money or make some moves or get some popularity. So this is normal. It may be annoying to us low-key podcasters, but it's normal for the big guns to come and say, oh, this is our space now.
Yeah. So, and to be clear, I'm not like hating on like celeb. I think it comes across like,
are you sure?
I'm not hating. I do think that there's room for everybody, but I think especially with podcasting, majority of like podcasters like ourselves are not getting paid and we're providing like so much, you know, amazing content. So I kind of just want us to be able to access some of that money to be made, you know? I saw a tweet that by 2021, podcasting will be a $1 billion industry. So let's share in some of that wealth.
Well, there are different ways to look at it because on the one hand, you're looking at these platforms and you're saying, well, they're getting paid to do this content, why can't I get paid? You mentioned if we were paid by Spotify, would we do X, Y, and Z? Mm-hmm. But there are other people, they're making their own money, doing it their own way. So they are doing merchandise, they are selling advertising via their own methods, or they're doing live shows, or they're doing public appearances, wherever it happens to be, or they're writing books. So I don't want it to seem like we have to, as podcasters, wait for somebody to come with a magic wand and here you go, here's some money. Avenues to make your own money. You know, you can become the influencer yourself by your podcast. If you get it popping, if you advertise or hustle enough that now you're the big guns and you can start charging people for Instagram posts because you've earned that much followers. So, you know, there are other ways of looking at it. I am not that way inclined, as we've said many times over the pod. You know, I'm not the best at all of that. So as it stands now, I can't jump into that realm, but it is what it is.
Mm. Well, I'm happy for both like Ricky and Denzel. As I said, like I've seen their content online. They actually are like really funny. And, you know, I actually think the podcast that they will have will actually be quite good. Because they have a really good presence on the internet already. So it's just basically transferring like those personalities into the podcast space.
Indeed.
Mm.
Well, good luck to them.
Shall we talk about Mr. Joe Budden again?
Why not? I've just finished listening to his episode, actually.
Oh, the one. So what's the date today? It's the 2nd of September. So the Wednesday episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So I listened to it as well. So where should we start? Should we finish our conversation from last week's episode where we talked about the departure of his podcast from Spotify?
Yes, let's do that, shall we? So I'm going to let you lead the way because I think I'm more or less spoken out about this four times now in the past week on different podcasts.
I noticed that you went and spoke about it on another podcast platform, but you know, it's fine. It's fine. I'm totally fine with that. So,
gents, when a woman says something three times, she doesn't mean it. When she says she's fine three times, it's not true.
When she says she's totally fine, you know, hide the knives. So it's all been confirmed that his podcast is definitely leaving Spotify. I think when we recorded last time, we were still speculating as what was going to happen next. So I don't know. Has my views changed? No, in some aspects. It's good to have had a bit more clarity. I don't know. Did we have clarity? He's saying he's not leaving because of money. He's leaving because of management and lack of sharing of information, which I don't know. I get that. I do understand that. So I think where we kind of disagreed is where he is saying that comparing himself to, say, like a Gimlet, who are like a podcast network, versus him being a single show, and you was like it was a unequal comparison. Is that a good summation?
Maybe, but I don't think you disagree with that either. So
I don't.
You could talk about what you want, and I can talk about. I don't think you disagree that him one podcast versus maybe I don't know 15 or 20 podcasts on the Gimlet is not equal. Hoot is not equal. So.
Yeah. I think my thing was that we don't know how much he valued himself in terms of like money wise, but I don't think it's unfair to say that he brought value and listeners to Spotify, and I don't think it's unreasonable to say, okay, now I'm negotiating a new contract, I need to be compensated for that.
Of course. I would argue that he was the biggest cog in the podcast.
You know what? For a moment there, I had to think what you were saying. Sorry.
The biggest... All right, Bricklin.
You can say cog. You know what? Right. My brain just went somewhere completely different. Sorry.
I don't even want to... He was the biggest brick in the Spotify house.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for him, maybe the foundation wouldn't be as solid as it is now, if it is solid. Or however solid it is, he definitely contributed the major part to that, or his podcast did.
Yeah.
So I am not arguing that at all. He's very important. His podcast is very good. His voice is very good. His brand is very strong. He will make money elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I'm regurgitating stuff now I said on my other podcast. Joe Biden will be fine. Joe Biden's podcast will be fine. He will make money elsewhere.
Mm.
What he's asking for, because apparently the money he was offered wasn't too bad, apparently. Between last week and this week, we've had a couple of his shows that we've listened to now. And apparently he was offered, is it 8 figures or 9 figures? 8 figures.
Yeah.
So 8 figures. A figure I've heard, so this is just a rumor, is 40 million.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. So he did say it was more money than I've ever seen before. It's more money than any of us have ever seen before. So he did say that, definitely. And so irrespective if it was 10 million or 40 million, it's a lot of money, but he wanted the analytics from Spotify. And then this is my major issue, is that as a tech fan, as a tech nerd, I understand how important analytics are. I understand how these big corporations don't give those things away. Even the government wants analytics from some of these companies, and they don't pass that out. So for instance, we're dealing with Corona times, and Apple and Google have made a software. They join up together just because of Corona to say our phones will talk to each other. They've never done this before, and you know, we've never come together like this before, but because of Corona, we're going to talk to each other, and our Bluetooth devices will track if you have a a virus and you have a test, then if you have it on your phone, if you have this app, it will say, oh, you know, Mo has the virus. And anybody that's been around Mo, regardless of whether they have an Android phone or an Apple phone, our phones would have been talking to each other. So if she ever confirms that she has it, all the phones that she's been around in the last couple of weeks will say, excuse me, do you know that you've been around Mo and she has the virus? You need to go get checked. This is something, it's unprecedented. They've never done anything like this before.
Mm.
And then the government came in and said, okay, cool. You've got this underlying technology, because it was just an underlying technology. We're going to build on top of it. And you give us the data and, you know, blah, blah. And they said, no. So this is big governments. They said, no, we are not doing that. So governments, so we live in the UK. The British government tried to do their own app and build on top of it. And they flopped because they needed the data that Apple were not going to give them. That's Google were not going to give them. So they ended up having just to use the software that originally they had, which was lost about 2 months. Separate issue. But the point is, even the government could not get the stuff that they wanted from Apple and Google. This is not something they give out. So when Joe Biden is saying that I want to understand my analytics, I want to understand these stats, and he's saying Spotify are not giving it to him, for me, as a man that understands tech, I think a bit more than he does, it seems, I get it. They're never going to give that away.
The only thing I would say is that it was part of his offer. They said they were going to do it.
I just, to be honest, it just doesn't seem,
because so, that's right. The only thing I would say, because he said that there was information he was receiving, because of the turnover of staff, and they kept on assigning different people, I don't know, almost like as his like account manager or his liaison person, that information started to disappear.
To be honest, I don't believe it. I don't believe the stats that he wants and the stats that he was given.
Yeah,
are the same,
but I mean, if it is true, because based upon, we only have what he has said, but yeah. If that was, he said, was the deciding factor of going with them, they had other deals on the table. And because the other organizations were not basically just saying no, he said Tidal told him no. He said Jay-Z told him no. But, you know, Spotify said, yes, you can have this. Then I can understand why you're upset if that was agreed.
I can understand too. I'm interested into what stats he wants. So, Mo, you know, your podcast, you cut out the boxes on Spotify. Well, this one, as we're recording, is through Anchor. So that kind of goes through Spotify as well. We have stats. So, yeah. You know, you can check your stats on Spotify. I'm interested in what stats above and beyond what we have. And don't get me wrong, it's not super in depth. It's not granular, but it's all right. What stats does he want that you think they wouldn't give him?
I think for him, he wanted to understand how big his podcast audience was. And you need to understand that within the bigger picture. So he probably wanted more detail about where does he, you know, what's his audience share, say, for instance, by region, compared to a similar podcast. I don't know. It could have been a whole host of things. But there was also the major one was he had that, you know, promo code to join Spotify Premium. Mm. And he'd asked for what were the numbers behind that, how many people had joined via his promo code, because that would give an indication of who he had attracted to the platform as a paying customer. And they said they got hacked. They lost it.
That's fair enough. That one I'll accept.
Yeah.
That should be something that they could give. And yeah, potentially a company might say, no, we don't want you to have that, because then we understand you could leverage that information against us when it comes to renegotiating a deal. So I get that. But but the other stats you were mentioning, I don't see why they wouldn't give that up.
Yeah, I mean, this is all just like me like pulling out from the air. And I don't know, because what he specifically wanted, I don't think he clarified.
He hasn't.
But I've been
sitting there thinking about it, and it's like, what is it you want that they wouldn't give you? The only thing I could imagine, I guess you did just touch on it, is that he wants stuff in comparison with others. So
yeah.
I don't just want my stats. I want everybody's stats.
To be fair, I think he actually did say that. I think he was talking about other podcasts as well.
then fair enough.
Yeah.
But again, as somebody with a CEO hat of a tech company, because whether Spotify might be seen as a music company, I see it as a tech company.
Mm.
Yeah, we don't give away everybody's stats. That's not what we do. That's not prudent to our business. It's not sensible at all.
And to be fair, I don't think he was even saying it wasn't sensible, because he kind of praised, you know, Jay-Z for telling him to like go away, that we're not going to give you that information. That's why I think it was more of the case of you promised me something and you didn't deliver. So yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it, well, I think I'm more interested to see like where does their podcast end up, like on what platform. Does it end up on a platform? Like, because he keeps on telling people to subscribe to the YouTube channel. So is YouTube going to be the home temporarily while they work out the next steps?
I mean, if they had enough subscribers, they could make tons of money from YouTube as well.
Mm.
Because then they wouldn't have to worry about the advertising that he sits so badly says he doesn't want, because YouTube are going to do it anyway. It's out of his control. So
no,
he says
you can opt out of having adverts on your content.
Okay. I'm assuming he hasn't done that though.
I don't think there are adverts on his, I don't think he monetizes his videos on YouTube.
Okay. Well, I'll take it back then. I'll take it back.
Mm. So what do you think of the recent controversy around him and allegations of domestic violence? Do you think that's going to affect the next steps?
No.
You don't?
No.
Mm.
Not unless it's bigger. I mean, because it just dropped today as we're recording.
Yeah.
Unless it grows. But this, me as a fan of Joe Budden. So it may seem as I'm coming across harsh, by the way. I don't know. I've listened to Joe Budden from the beginning, from his first album, from his mixtapes. I've always been a big fan.
He was there from Pump It Up days.
From Pump It Up days. And this is nothing new. This is not news to me. He's addressed stuff like this on previous songs. She's not the first person to say that he's abused her. I don't even think she's the second. So I don't see it as super newsworthy because it's old news for me.
Mm.
So I think anybody that's in the business, it may be old news to them as well.
I disagree. I do think it's going to have an effect if he doesn't basically squash the allegations. I don't think it's something that you can just hope it goes away. I think the climate has changed.
Mm.
Any kind of like hint, especially like violence against women, is not going to go away. And just for our listeners, to be clear, he has been accused of an ex-partner of physical abuse. He's saying it's not true. Also, it's not the first allegation. His other partners have also said the same. Me personally, I like listening to his podcast. I do find it problematic at times. There's times where I'm like, I'm going to take a break. There was a period where I just didn't listen for like months because some of the views that they were sharing. It would affect me as a listener, whether I wanted to continue. I think he has to address this issue in terms of like what actually happened. And I think he knows that as well. Hence why he's talking about it on his podcast.
Okay. So let's say that he says, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. He has addressed it on his podcast as the Wednesday we're talking about.
Mm.
He said, like you said, I'm denying these allegations. I didn't do it. She's lying. And I think he thinks that she's in cahoots with other people that Joe Budden has an issue with.
Mm.
And they've seemed to like drag this out of her kind of thing. So whatever, it's all this mini conspiracy against him. So then what?
I probably have to just look at everything and I'd probably make a choice if I'd want to continue being a listener.
Okay.
Because for me, it's something that I take quite seriously. And, you know, if I think about, I don't know, an R. Kelly situation, that's someone I don't support their work at all. You know, I don't play his music or stream it or anything. Because I'm just like, no. I'm not going to support that man. So yeah, I would have to see how this turns out. So yeah, I think it is important.
Okay. So it seems that podcasters can be problematic, especially if the names are Joe.
I know. Do you not think it's weird that they're both Joe Rogan and Joe Budden?
Just a coincidence, I guess.
I don't know.
And yeah,
misogyny, I guess Spotify, obviously sells.
Maybe Spotify can only deal with one
misogynistic.
I mean, like I said, I don't listen to Joe Budden anymore, and I never did listen to Joe Rogan, but I don't know where this misogyny comes into. I hear you say it all the time. It's your weekly dose of misogyny, but when the episodes I've been listening to recently, I don't see it. But.
No, I would say definitely the episodes, I would say in the last like 6 months, it's been less. But like I said, I can't remember the specific thing that was said, but I remember there was some episodes that I just was like, no, this isn't for me. So I stopped listening.
Well, fair enough. That was the same reason I stopped listening to.
To who?
Joe Budden.
Oh, okay, whatever. You start listening because they moved to like another app and you just couldn't bother. So,
like, all right. So, okay then. So jumping off from there, we're talking about misogyny in podcasting. And I guess to wash out the misogyny, you would need to have some sort of representation. And I think you wanted to discuss that.
What a great segue.
I'm good at this.
Yeah, not new to this.
Nah.
So yeah, I did want to bring this up because I was thinking about it a lot recently for a number of reasons. So I was listening to Just a Tip podcast by our sister podcaster Georgette, and she had the ladies from the podcast called Two's Two's podcast. Have you heard of it?
Two Twos, yeah.
Yeah.
LGBT plus podcast.
Yes. So they are queer black women. And I remember thinking, okay, that's another podcast that I can add to like my list to listen to.
Mm.
So I was thinking about how important it is to have that kind of like diverse representation. Because when I first started listening to podcasts, I found it so hard to find, I don't know, voices from like black women, specifically for me, because that's what I was looking for, and how there's so much more, you know, of that. However, it's still so hard to discover. So in a way, the space has become a little bit more diverse, but I still have problems finding that content, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's extremely diverse, actually. The podcast field, I don't know if you can find another field, maybe books or just a website, the World Wide Web in general, that's more diverse than the podcast field, because anybody who thinks themselves as anything in whichever field, whichever bracket they want to put themselves in, can pick up a microphone and start recording and put it out there to the world, and they can reach the people that identify with that bracket.
Yeah.
So, but like you said, as much as I can put it out there, and maybe it is just it's a queer podcast, it's a podcast for queer people, or podcast for queer people who of color. How are those queer people of color going to find me if they're on the other side of the world? So, we did discuss this offline before, where I mentioned that, well, when you mentioned this, I did think of it, and I said about 6 months or so ago, I was looking for African podcasts.
Right.
And I found it quite hard to find African podcasts. And I did think it would be nice, just as you mentioned it earlier today, to have had a filter where I could say it wasn't just a news podcast or a how-to podcast or or sports or comedy. These are the brackets that they've bracketed all the podcasts into. There's about 10, and then you can do subcategories, maybe another 3 amongst those 10, so let's make it 30. But you can't find a podcast that is queer. There's no section for queer, there's no section for black, there's no section even for African. There's no I cannot find an African podcast by women about politics. There are no ticks that I can do to say that, and this is why I'm interested.
And I guarantee you, they exist. There's a bunch of women out there right now that are recording a podcast that are African about politics. I guarantee you.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. I listen.
Yeah,
I do actually. I mean, I have found these podcasts, but my point is, it was almost by chance.
Yeah.
And then the best way they have so far, from what I have experienced on different apps, is that when you find one podcast that is in that field, then when you go down to the you may like or how about, then they have other podcasts that maybe have some sort of similar kind of feel. And I think you have your own theory as to how they do that on Apple Podcasts, at least.
Well, on Apple, it's based upon, so you know when you scroll down to the bottom and it says you may also like, I think it's based upon, and based upon what I've read as well online, what people subscribe to. So if I subscribe to Colour Out the Box and I'm also subscribed to, I don't know, ESN or the Receipts podcast, if somebody else is listening to Colour Out the Box, it might say, you know, listeners also like, or you may like these other podcasts as well, which is fine. And that's why I say it's quite important that if you do like a podcast, subscribe, because it helps others discover the same pod, but it doesn't necessarily give you content that is actually related to. So again, it doesn't make it easy. And you know, when you go onto like, you know, Apple Podcasts or Spotify and they have their popular podcasts, they're still very much, I don't know how to put it, in that same vein. It can be very white. It can be very white male. And there's a whole sea of other podcasts that, you know, people want to listen to. But if you're not ready to put in the effort and the work, it's not easy to find that content.
Yeah, unfortunately, if you're not big name, if you're not part of a podcast network, or if you haven't been signed up by a podcast app, then being put out there is a bit hard.
Yeah.
Or if you're, that's just the way it is. So there is space out there for somebody to create some sort of a website for people to go to find specifically what they want, or an app.
I mean, it does sort of exist.
Got it.
So, you know, Podcasts in Colour, that website, you can search a little bit more specifically, and all the podcasts listed there feature at least one person of colour has to be involved in the podcast to be listed on that directory. So, yeah, that's there. And I know some of the podcatchers or podcast platforms do have a little bit more of a sophisticated filter approach, but it's a bit hit and miss. It depends, and it's not across all of the platforms,
it's going to be hit and miss, because, well, for one, the example you gave with the podcast in Colour, if I wanted a queer podcast featuring four white people, that wouldn't be applicable there.
I couldn't
include something that is exclusive.
Yeah,
it's exclusive for people of colour or for podcasts of colour. So, and then secondly, your RSS feed, which is where most people draw their podcasts from, is not granular at all. It doesn't give those information. So the app would have to be very intelligent in finding out what this podcast is about to categorize it itself. Because we, as podcasters, when we upload our podcasts, can only use one or two identifiers. We can't use more than that.
I think the platforms that I'm talking about, they allow you to go in and say, like, edit your podcast page. I'm trying to think of a good example. Because I did it recently, where you can add extra information. So it's easier to filter like more about your podcast on that particular platform, but you physically have to go in, claim your podcast RSS feed and page, and then add the information.
Indeed. But like I said, you'd have to do that then.
Yeah,
unfortunately, unless they change how the RSS works from the base level, it's going to be a system where you're going to have to go out there and do it after the fact, kind of thing. It's unfortunate that it works that way.
It's annoying, because, like, say if I do want to find a show that is about, you know, Black women who like fly fishing and talk about it in a comedic way, I should be able to find that.
I agree totally.
Yeah.
And it's quite annoying. Yes, that is it's not there. But I reckon by season four of the expansion podcast, by season four, it would have been sorted out. Somebody else must have this idea.
Yeah.
and somebody else must be trying to work on it somehow. Okay. Or for all we know, there could be a new kind of RSS feeder. Maybe I'm thinking way too far down the line, but maybe it's like we scrap RSS and there's something else, there's something new.
Hmm.
And that allows for more granular kind of details. It allows for video and, well, I mean, RSS allows for video as well, but you get what I mean? Just for more stuff, more information, because it's going to get to the point where people are going to want, where are my listeners? Where are they from? So for instance, we're begging for stuff from Spotify, but maybe in the RSS itself, it will have all these details. So you do not need to go to one of these apps to find out the stats, or you do not need to, because there are a bunch of these places where you need to pay them to get your analytics or people that have reviewed it. You can pay people to give you this information, but maybe there'll be a new RSS, something else, which has all this built in and it's come straight to you direct, whoever's hosting your podcast.
Mm.
It's a potential.
Yeah. You said RSS feed a lot, but yeah, I get you. So moving on. So this is one that I wanted to bring up again. It's something that you mentioned to me. You said that you don't listen to other podcasts before you record your own show, because you don't want to copy other people's content or style. And it got me thinking about this whole being inspired versus mimicking or copying content.
Yeah, because like I said, as I've listened to the Joe Budden podcast this week, I've realized there are a couple of things that we do that are similar to that, and I didn't want people thinking that, oh, we copied Joe Budden, especially seeing as, you know, we were doing it before.
So are you implying that Joe Budden copied you?
No, I'm just saying that.
That's what you should just say. Come on.
That he copied? No. I'm just saying that you can go back and listen to my podcast before there ever was a Joe Budden podcast, and I was doing some of the things that I'm doing now. But I took a long break from doing those things, and now I'm doing it again. And I listen to Joe Budden. It could easily be seen as, oh, he's doing it because they did it.
Mm.
Or ESN is doing it because Joe Budden did it. It's like, no. But there was a time, because I do listen to a lot of British Black podcasts that are in the same vein as mine. And I remember there was a couple of weeks where I was listening to some other podcasts, and some of the views they were giving, I agreed with, because we're talking about the same kind of things, celebrity and, you know, whatever topics. And whereas I might have come at it from one angle, because of what I heard, it changed my view. It's like, oh, I agreed with that. So that became my view. And then when I started spitting that out, I realized this sounds pretty similar to what I heard, and I didn't like it. So fortunately for me, I noticed myself and I nipped it in the bud of myself. But I do hear other podcasts, and it's like, I know what podcast you listen to this week, because you're regurgitating the same thing. And this, so it solidified for me to make sure that I don't do the same thing myself. I have gone over the hurdle. I don't need to not listen to podcasts anymore to not regurgitate what they've said. I've learned how to put that barrier up. There's a valve in there. It comes in, it doesn't go out. But I do notice that other people do it. And I guess if you do notice it, I guess it can kind of like, I don't know, do you reckon it could put a taint in the person's opinion then?
Yeah, because especially when I first started my podcast, of course I took inspiration from other people's. I remember when we first started.
Inspiration,
okay. Yeah. Okay, otherwise known as plagiarizing. But you do, because you listen to like other people's like shows and you think, wow, like, you know, this is really good. This is really funny. I like this format. So it may not even just be the opinions. It may just be how they format their show, their content. And I don't think you ever do it consciously, but even when I listen to my early episodes, I'm like, oh, this sounds a bit like The Read, or this is a bit, you know, it's a bit try hard, like another podcast. So, and I think it takes a moment, especially when you have a new show and you're working with somebody else as a co-host, to kind of work out what's your lane, if that makes sense. Yeah. So you can be easily kind of like influenced by like others, especially when you see the success of those other shows as well. But I agree with you. There was a time when like there would be particular topics trending on Twitter, and I have a set of podcasts that I listen to on a regular, and I basically was hearing the same opinion throughout the week, and you get bored because I can listen to the same like topic. So, you know, I don't know what's a trending topic at the moment. Someone's opinion about the Meg Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez situation.
Okay.
But I expect varied point of views, different angles to the situation, that kind of thing. But there was a time when literally something like that would happen and it would be the same kind of, almost like word for word, the same kind of like verbiage, like reiterated on each, on everybody else's podcast, which I found quite boring.
Yeah, it's a sticky one still.
Yeah.
It's something that podcasters need to be cognizant of. But
yeah,
unless you're thinking of that kind of thing, I guess you wouldn't really pay no mind to it.
Yeah. But when I kind of realized that I was doing it, I did try to reference the podcast that I'd listened to. So I might just say, I listened to Two Girls and a Mic and this is what they thought of the situation. Or, you know, I heard this on ESN, which made me think again about my views. So it doesn't sound like you're just copying somebody.
And I do exactly the same thing, Mo. which is why I reference so many podcasts.
Yeah.
So I mean, sometimes people are like, why are you always talking about other podcasts? Is it like, almost, are you trying to show off that you listen to everything? I was like, no, just like what you said, because I never actually thought of it like that before, that's why I'm doing it. But now I realize, yes, that is why I'm doing it, because they made a point, and rather than me saying, you know, E equals MC squares, I'll say this person said E equals MC squared and I heard it on that podcast, and that's why I'm saying it out of my mouth, not because it was originally my fault.
So is there anyone that you think, without naming names, of course, have copied your content or your style?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, not me personally, but from my podcast, yeah.
Right.
But again, I wouldn't call it copying. It's just it's the same thing that we've both said we have done ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's not a beef thing or anything like that. It's just we've come up with a point, or we've come up with a way of doing some things, and then it's been said. I think the bigger thing is if you have a dynamic, or if you have some sort of way of doing it, which is for me like the most important thing.
Mm.
So let's say the music that we play on ESN, and with the stabs that we have, and the sound effects, I've been doing that for 8-9 years. I stopped doing it for a while because we just stopped, but we've been doing that for a long time. So when you hear other podcasts doing it, it's like, oh, you're copying them. It's like, no, it's just a coincidence now that it happens to have merged into that same bracket, but no, we were doing it before. So I've had people that have copied what we've said on a certain topic before,
right,
which is not the biggest deal, because like you said, it's almost like a group think. You hear it and then you say it.
Exactly.
It's when they take a format and it's like, okay, that's what we were doing and now you're doing it. But again,
Definitely lifted ideas from other people's podcasts, including your own.
Like what?
So for instance, the trailer open, so you know where you put a snippet from the episode at the beginning of your episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got that from your podcast.
Yeah, and that's something we did 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So this is something, I think that's one of the things actually where it's like, if I hear that anywhere else, I don't take any claim to it. It's not like, oh, we did it first, so you took it from us, because obviously it's just something that you can do. It can happen, but There's no way that can tell me that I took that or we took that from anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because
I don't think that's even a bad thing, because as I said, it's you pick up ideas. So I listen to so many different podcasts as well. So even like the sound effects, I did a whole series on Insecure, the TV show, and I'd put in a 1-minute overview. And I actually took that from a literary podcast that I listened to, because they just can like summarize the book, you know, in like a minute. So I was like, okay, that's a good idea. I'm going to take that, because it just adds a set format to my show. So definitely I think it's fine to be inspired by other people's shows. But I suppose copying is where you're just like lifting something and you're just copying like all the way through, then yeah, it becomes a problem because it's not special to you. And I think the whole thing about podcasting is that people have come to listen to hear your viewpoint and your style on something. No?
Yeah. It's a really fine line between,
yes,
that's a good idea. And, you know, how can I use that on my podcast with my style, my voice, and I'm just taking it. Cause the artist in me, let's leave the artist.
The artist
in me. So the pragmatic person in me sees that, this is an idea. Having, listen, like you said, something at the beginning of the podcast where it has a snippet from the beginning.
Mm.
If it's funny or it's controversial or it's something that's going to draw somebody in, especially as a first time listener, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, why not have something like that and put it at the beginning? Then you have your music or whatever, and then it gets into the podcast, and then they have to. I've had people tell me, I'm looking forward to hearing that part of the podcast now because I've heard that at the beginning. So yeah, as a first time for me, as trying to bring people in for the first time, that's something that I think, yeah, it could work. So somebody else taking that idea and saying, yeah, it works. It just makes sense. It's not like you're stealing it.
Yeah.
It just makes sense if you hear it and you think it's a good idea. You don't have to think it's a good idea. But when you do think it's a good idea, then it's like, yeah, why shouldn't I do that? It's not stealing. But the artiste in me says, if you've done it first, I can't do it.
Okay, I get it.
I find it very icky for somebody else to have done something, and for that is the reason why I've got the idea. Not that I had the idea and they've done it, but I have the idea because you've done it, and then for me to do it is very icky. And even though my brain says it's all right, it's fine.
But I think with me, because artiste in me, shall we say, understands that it's actually very difficult for someone to have a completely original idea, especially because I've worked in a fashion industry. Basically what we do is basically regurgitate what happened like previous seasons. But you move it on. So what I do is like, if I see a really cool idea, I work out how can I incorporate it in my way into like my podcast. And also, you know, what do they say? What's the phrase? It's
imitation is the
best form of flattery. So yeah.
Yeah.
And especially when you improve on the original. So yeah.
I hear you. Yeah.
And it's a good way to refresh your content. So for instance, I'm on a season break for my own podcast. So I have been listening to like other people's shows and thinking, because I'm going to refresh my format. So yeah, I've been like noting down, okay, that works quite well. I'd like to try that. So yeah, it's, I am. Some might say stealing ideas. Others might say I'm being inspired by others.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing your inspiration.
Thank you.
Okay. Should we get off to the news now?
Let's do the news.
Yeah, it's going to be a long one, this episode.
Yeah.
Why not? It's the last one. All right, I'm reading this off The Verge. It says, Audible, an Amazon company, is separating its exclusive audio content out into its own plan with a cheaper subscription that doesn't include credits to download audiobooks outside its catalog. So this is going to be called Audible Plus, and it's this is in dollars, American dollars. It's $7.95 a month, which is about half the price from the previous lowest subscription, which got you like 2 books a month.
Right.
So this now is going to be without those books, but it's going to give you access to a collection of exclusive audio content, like podcasts and things along those kind of lines. So they, like we said last week, they're pushing into the podcast genre now. And it seems that for some reason they think people are going to pay for this. Mm. Because if it doesn't include audiobooks, I don't understand why you'd need to get... I mean, because Audible, they don't just have podcasts. They do have these things where it's like audio stories, but they don't audio books. It's like some in between.
Yeah.
So I guess, and they are their own content as well. There are things that they have decided to do. They've put money into it. So I guess they want their money back, I guess. But it'd be interesting to see if anybody would pay $7.95 and not get audiobooks. which is what audio is, you know, Audible is for.
I think it's interesting. I think they're almost testing, would people pay for podcast plus, you know, other audio content? I do think there is a market there. Because you know, a lot of the podcasts that I listen to have additional content available behind a paywall. So like Patreon or something like that. And, you know, they basically have exclusive episodes. A lot of the YouTubers actually do it now as well. And people pay for it. So, yeah, I suppose if your favorite podcast is there, yeah, maybe I would. I don't know. We pay for music. We pay for TV, films. So why wouldn't we pay for, you know,
well, you pay for content? Them if, well, all right, yeah, I guess some, yeah, okay, yeah.
So, okay.
No, because I was going to say, like, you don't pay for ITV or Channel 4. But
no, you pay for Netflix.
You pay for Netflix and you pay for Sky and you pay for the BBC, so fair enough. Yeah, I mean, for now, they're saying that the entire experience on Audible is going to be ad-free, including the podcast. It brings from third-party providers. And they're even bringing in Wondery podcasts, which one of my favorite podcasts is Business Wars, and that's from Wondery. Wondery, they're another podcast network. They have a bunch of podcasts. Yeah, they're very big. But they have, as far as I'm concerned, they have very well-polished and produced podcasts. So they're one of the better networks that I listen to anyways. But they have ads all over their
content.
Yeah. If you go through their own app, they don't have ads, but then you have to pay for that.
Right. So
that's the way they juggle that. But apparently if you go through Audible, they're not going to have ads. So they're going to be paying Wondery something.
Because, yeah, I think it is possible. Because, like I said, if you'd asked me, I don't know, 3 years, even for me, 3 years ago, would you pay for music? I said no. But I have, you know, I've paid for a Spotify account. I'm looking at Tidal now. You know, I did Apple Music for a period of time. So, yeah. And I remember there was a podcast that Issa Rae did. She wrote, it was one of those storytelling podcast or Sonic Cinema called Fruit, and the first two episodes were available free on Apple Podcasts. Then you actually have to pay, and this was a few years ago, so I was a bit like, no, I'm not ready to pay. But I think now I would be ready to, you know, put my hand in my pocket.
So we're moving in that direction then, generally, where you feel that this is the way, because you know, I said Spotify, they don't draw off RSS feeds. You have to upload your podcast specifically to Spotify. Hopefully listeners understand what that means. So Audible is going to be doing the same thing as well. So Amazon is doing the same thing. They're not just everybody that has an RSS feed. So yes, I'm going to say it many times this episode. They're just dragging them off there. Day. Yeah. So they have all the podcasts in the world on their feed immediately. No, you have to go to Amazon or Audible. And then upload your podcast there. And then, like with Spotify and like with Stitcher, you now relinquish some of the rights, I guess.
Can I just clarify in that? Because with Spotify, my RSS feed is submitted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the difference between, you know, what push and pull is in tech terms.
Yeah.
Well, usually let's say Apple, their app pulls your podcast. So you put your RSS feed, it's hosted somewhere, and wherever it's hosted, Apple finds it and it pulls it onto your phone or your tablet or your computer. Spotify, Stitcher and Audible, they don't pull your podcast. They either shift it somewhere else and then pull it from there, or they actually download it and put it somewhere on their own service. So if you, like I said, when I was mentioning that thing before, where I mentioned if you had an RSS feed and it had all the analytics built into it some way or shape or form, and you could draw it back just from the RSS that you have put out there in the world, it wouldn't be applicable for this, because it's not going through that feed. It's going somewhere else, so that they hold all the data, which is why basically they'll be able to insert adverts into the middle of a podcast, because you couldn't insert an advert into the middle of your podcast because it goes, if it's an hour and it starts from zero to an hour and you, that's it, how can I put an advert in the middle unless I break it somehow? And that's, so I have to break your feed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So for them to break the feed, they have to move it somehow.
Okay.
Or do something to it. But once it's broken, it's kind of like it no longer belongs to you anymore, which is why you have to sign your rights away for those ones.
Mm. A few of them have that stipulation.
This is the road they're going down. Mm. So for me, I knew, like I said, Stitcher had been doing it for ages.
Yeah.
They were the first ones I know. But then when I saw Spotify getting into it and that's how they were doing it, I realized, okay. So that's why I've had that theory from a long time ago that they're really going down the advertising route because they're starting off that way.
Yeah.
And Audible's now going to start the same thing.
So yeah, so going back to Audible, definitely, because I think about, especially adverts, that's my biggest like bugbear. I hate like advertising interrupting my content. I love YouTube content, and it's one of the things that they keep on pushing, this YouTube premium, so you have it advert free, but I can't do it, I can't pay. I refuse to. But I think, yeah, if it was going down that route, that free podcast listening has to include advertising, I definitely think I would start to think about, okay, if I paid for it to be ad free, then yeah, I'd be tempted.
Yeah, it would be interesting because at some point they're going to be like, you can't skip an advert. Same way on Spotify, if you have a free tier, yeah, you can't skip the advert. I know that I just skip adverts on the podcast I listen to, but at some point on Spotify, it's going to be, no, you're going to have to listen to this advert or you're going to have to pay us maybe an extra fee instead of 10
bucks a month. Yeah, because I think there was some feedback that on the Michelle Obama podcast, I think for American listeners, they were having adverts, even if they had a premium account. So there was a bit of pushback.
Yeah, from what I know, it's not just going to be American. It's just when they insert adverts into their podcast, whenever they decide to do it, it's got nothing to do with whether you're a paid subscriber or not.
Mm.
Which, to be honest, makes sense to me because listening to podcasts has got nothing to do with whether you're a paid subscriber or not on Spotify. That's not what it's about. It's about the exclusivity. You're not getting it anywhere else. So eat these ads. Doesn't matter whether you're paying us or not. I guess it would be, you need to pay us extra if you want to not have ads on Spotify. Because like I keep saying, the subscription and the Spotify podcast, for me, are two separate things. I believe that they see them as...
This is where we disagree. I know you can't see me. I was just making faces like...
Are you rolling your eyes?
Yeah. I disagree completely. I disagree.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
I think they'll make you pay a premium for the podcast if you don't want ads. And then as far as I'm concerned, that would then be you're paying, let's say, $10 for music and $10 for podcasts.
But that's what I'm saying. If they want to do it like that, then definitely if there's a dedicated podcast platform, that's okay. All your content here is ad free. Then, yeah, I would consider it. Oh,
I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just thinking about they would add the money on top. But I guess they could say, if you want to listen to podcasts ad-free, it's $10. Yeah. And if you want to listen to music,
yeah,
ad-free, it's $10. And if you want to do them both,
I think
then it's $17 or something.
I think for something like Spotify, though, or Apple Music, they would need to just have it as like one fee. I think it would be rather cheeky to have it as a separate fee. But that's just me. We disagree on this one. And we disagree. It's fine.
Okay. It's interesting. I'm just reading up on this. Very unprofessional as I'm reading as I'm talking. But it says, unlike Lumerical. Can you say it?
Numerical, are you saying?
No. Do you know? So you don't know the company Luminary?
Oh, I do, but I've never said it out loud.
Neither have I actually.
Now you're making me doubt how to say it. I think I thought I knew how to say it.
Luminary. That's what I'm going with. Okay. They launched with scraped RSS feeds, which is basically what I was just talking about. Apparently, Audible is setting itself as an ally to podcast companies. Lots of platforms trying to build its catalog and charge customers for freely available programming. So it's interesting. So we'll see which route they're going down, because I thought if they're gonna not give you the idea to upload the RSS feed, if you have to upload it, they're not just dragging it down. I thought they were taking it so that it could scrape it, but apparently that's not what they're doing. So I'll take that back.
Okay, we'll keep an eye. So maybe by the time we come back in season two, we'll have more to report.
We will find out.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so as I mentioned, we've come to the end of season one. I think it's been fun. This has been interesting, really interesting for me.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe we should just, take a moment to talk about what we've learned. Do we want to come back? and potentially if we do come back, what we've got planned for season two.
Okay,
so for me, I actually have learned quite a lot, because one of the things that I did learn, and I think you'll agree with me in this one, is that I was only scratching the surface of what I thought I knew about in terms of podcasting, and there's just so much about the industry that I wasn't aware of. So through research and talking to you, talking to other podcasters, it's really opened up my eyes to so many new ideas, things, what the big platforms are doing. I've taken now a keen interest in what everyone's up to in terms of stealing our content. So yeah, I've learned quite a lot. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm the same. I was up on the platforms, I should say. I did kind of know what the platforms were doing. But in terms of just the big, bad world of podcasting, the field, the genres, what's popping, who's coming in and out, I've realized the more I've studied and had to learn for this podcast, the less I realized I knew, because I thought I was up on all of it. But I'm realizing that, no, you're not. You just scratched the surface on your knowledge of what podcasting really is and what it could really be. Even just the money in podcasting, I knew about those big deals that Spotify was making, but I didn't really realize, different avenues that I mentioned before with merchandise and this and that, that's different people are doing in different ways. And so, yeah, I have learned so much. So I have to give you some credit for bringing me onto this.
Thanks.
This thing and fleshing it out. It's also taught me that I could do this kind of podcast, because doing ESN is so easy now. I don't have to think of anything. I don't have to prep. I can switch my brain off.
As soon as
I get there, I'll just switch my brain on and then we go. So as a host, I know I can do. But prep stuff beforehand and actually talking about something that maybe I'm not completely 100% comfortable with. Even though I'm comfortable with podcasting, I'm not necessarily comfortable with... I see this as some sort of informing or teaching. And that's not something I've ever done before, so I know I can do it now. It may not be where I'm most comfortable, but I can do it. So yeah,
I agree. One of the things I did want to mention, because we talked about it at the beginning of the season that we wanted to talk about monetization, but we've had conversations off mic that we need to get an expert in to talk to us about that. Because it made me realize, in terms of monetizing podcast content, I have an idea, but there is so much that I think that I need to understand and learn. So I think definitely for season two, that will probably be a big piece of what we dive into next in terms of the different ways to monetize it. As you said, it's not necessarily about waiting for these platforms to hand you a check. It's also about going out there and making your own money as well.
I definitely believe that. I saw somebody today with a 90s baby hat. That's money, and then it's advertising as well. It's like a big circle.
Exactly. So, I think merchandise is actually really interesting, like you said, because you're selling stuff and you're advertising your podcast as well at the same time. And I've seen people that have had Patreon memberships, and part of that membership you get maybe like the t-shirt or a hat or a mug. So again, it's giving their, you know, listeners that are willing to pay for content some almost like a reward as well.
Yes. Yeah, we'll definitely delve into that in season two.
What else have I learned? I've also learned audio quality is essential. We've recorded this whole season remotely. I haven't seen you once.
Let's keep it that way. Please don't talk about audio quality on the Expansion podcast. It's a good podcast, but the quality of the audio is got me grating my teeth. I don't know if I'm ever going to get over it.
I think you're quite hard on yourself with the audio quality, because I think for a podcast that is recorded remotely, I think it's actually quite good quality, if that makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
I just disagree, but okay.
Yeah, well, it's my opinion. But it has made me, I've listened to so many other podcasts.
You're catching up to me now, yeah?
Yeah, I've literally just been going, because every time you recommend something, I tend to go and listen to it as well. And if our guests recommend a podcast as well, I tend to go and listen to it as well. So I've been getting through a lot of podcasts. And yeah, I would say that there has been about, I would say like 10% that I haven't finished the episode. And it's never because I don't like the content. It's because I've struggled with the audio quality, where it's hard to listen to. So yeah, it's made me think like, okay, audio quality, especially if it's bad from the beginning, it really puts me off. I think you've got to start off strong.
The thing is, I'm actually wondering if we, I specifically say me, is in the minority. Because I said this on ESN this week, or last week, I don't often hear listeners complain too much about the quality of podcasting in terms of sound quality. I hear them talk about people chewing on the mic, or I hear them, oh, you mentioned this but you didn't finish the topic, or I hear, oh, you're being misogynistic, you know, the content, stuff like that. I don't usually hear people say, you know, your podcast sounded really good, I mean, or you, what you were saying was really good, but I can't hear what you're saying, so I stopped listening. I don't read that. And because I read reviews, I check people out, obviously, you know, I do my due diligence before podcasting. And it's not something I see pop up.
I don't see it pop up online, but definitely I've heard people talk about podcasts that like, oh, I can't really hear very well. Or especially if you listen to a lot of podcasts. I think if you're new, you're probably less, I don't want to say you have lower standards, but maybe your tolerance is lower or higher.
More forgiving.
But definitely for people that are avid podcast listeners, they are very particular, like, okay, I don't like listening to this podcast because I can't hear them. So yeah.
So Mo, are you telling me that I'm vindicated in my snobbery of audio?
How do you mean vindicated?
Because sometimes I look at myself and I feel, are you just being a snob?
I think definitely you are being a snob, because you know, your standards sometimes are a bit unreasonable. But I think where it is, the audio quality is absolutely awful, then I think the snobbery is warranted, if that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Because I'm actually quite proud of our audio quality, considering that it is recorded remotely. I know you're not, so that's a difference of us.
Okay.
What else have you learned?
I think just learning how big the field is, learning a different way, working with you as a duo is different than working in a team, especially.
Let's talk about that. Yeah.
Well, when I talk on ESN, like I've mentioned on previous episode, I listen to every podcast at like 1.5 speed or 2 speed, 2 times the speed. And it's interesting, when I listen to ESN, we talk a lot faster in general than most podcasts anyway, because we talk, it's almost like you've heard the the idea that if you put a plate of food in front of a bunch of children that they eat fast because it's not because they're that hungry, or it's just if they don't eat, then everybody else is going to eat the food first.
Yeah.
And so it won't be there anymore. And it's kind of like that on ESN. If you don't talk fast, if you're not fast,
yeah,
somebody's going to cut you off and start talking and then you're going to lose your spot. And there's a running joke, whereas people like just be cut off on another podcast. And it's not the case here. I don't have to do that.
Mm.
And so it's almost the opposite. So you'll find now there's empty space I have to cut off on this pod, which I would never have to do on ESN. There is no such thing as empty space on ESN. Whereas here, it's almost like we're respecting each other's, the mic etiquette is completely different. I don't want to just, because I know I could just fill in the space. I know there is, you know, I could just talk, but no, Stav, shut up. You've been talking long enough. Yeah, I'll say her piece, but then Mo fall and Mo sitting there like, yeah, that's interesting. Carry on.
Yeah, sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know, like percolating your, you know, your thoughts and everything. So I'm just like, okay, yeah, that's a good point. And you're like, Mo. And especially because we can't see each other. So I think
that's it as well.
I think that kind of adds to it as well. Cause I think when you're in front of each other, especially when you're in the same room, you can take like physical cues that someone has at least finished their point. So yeah, it's a little bit easier. So I think naturally we would have pauses cause we're recording remotely, but I get what you're saying. And I think also that's five people in a room together and we're two people. So I think it's slightly different dynamic.
Mm. And also, I think we both understand that we can overtalk people.
Mm.
We can cut people off. And so I think we're trying to respect we're trying to stop doing that, basically. So that's another reason why there'll be this empty space to be like, are you finished? I don't want to interrupt. You're done? Yeah. Okay. All right. And then you start talking.
Yeah. And definitely I think because we are both, I don't know what to call it, lead hosts on our podcast. Well, my podcast is me with guests. And obviously on your one, I would consider you the lead like host. I think coming together as two lead hosts, it took us a moment to find our rhythm between each other. And so, yeah.
I don't actually think it had anything to do with being a lead host. I just think it was a new format. Not for me. Well, they're not for me because I'm quite happy not hosting. That's so I can fall back. But because I'm not falling back, we're juggling. So it's not because I was a lead host and now I'm working with a lead host. It's because I'm juggling and I've never had to juggle before. It's either I'm hosting or I'm not hosting.
Yeah. But I think definitely there's, you know, there's a dynamic there in terms of sometimes like who's taking the lead in the conversation.
That's the juggling part. That's what which is why it's got nothing to do with I've led before or after, because if I've juggled in the past with other podcasters, then I'd be used to it. I'm just not used to that. And then it's just working with somebody new as well. I think if I was juggling with, let's say, my brother who's on my other podcast, I think it would probably work a lot better because we would just flow. He's my brother and it'll just be easy. Whereas with you, it's very brand new.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. But again, we disagree on things, so it's fine.
But Mo, I'm always right. So why don't you disagree with me and make our lives easier?
That'd be boring.
Okay.
So yeah.
Anything else or we're wrapping up?
Yeah, let's wrap up. So yeah, so you've been listening to season one of the Expansion podcast. Thank you for coming on this journey with us. I want to say shout out to everyone that's been a guest on our podcast, you know, taking time out of their busy schedule. Much appreciated. Definitely. And definitely taught me a few new things as well. And there's some things that some of those people I'll be reaching out to again to kind of like talk new ideas and how to move my own show forward. Yeah.
We really should have written the names down so we could have did a big shout out to
all. Would you want to call them all out?
It's only about seven or eight.
That's true, actually. I'm going like there's hundreds. it's fine. They know who they are. They're all in the past episodes.
Okay.
Anything else you want to add?
No. Mo, thank you very much for this season. It's been really good working with you. Looking forward to season two at some point after a well-deserved break.
Yeah. So please do stay subscribed. continue to follow us on social media at The Expansion Pod. We're going to still share like our recommendations, industry news, and probably some podcast tips as well. Still, yeah.
Yeah, we still have to do that on this episode, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So keep following us and we will be back in no time.
Okay, so you're going to do your tip and your recommendation?
Oh, yeah. I was literally wrapping up the whole episode.
That's what I said.
Okay, so, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Okay, so my recommendation I'll do first. So I'm actually going to recommend a podcast I was listening to today, which is called The Unstuck Podcast, and it's by a gentleman called Demi Harper, a former guest co-host on my podcast. And the reason why I want to recommend his podcast for two reasons. One is it's all about branding and what it actually means to be a brand. So he talks about just because you've got a logo doesn't mean that you have a brand. So it's very helpful information, especially if you're launching a new blog or podcast or anything really. And then also, he's a really good example of somebody that's rebranded their own podcast and he's come back after a hiatus. Mm. So again, quite interesting to see how you can come back after an extended break. So my recommendation is Unstuck Podcast by Demi Harper.
Shout out, Demi. He's been on both of our podcasts.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, yeah. So shout him out.
Okay, your recommendation.
My recommendation is a podcast that is doesn't exist anymore. It's been gone for well over 3 years now, actually. In fact, when you listen to it, it's funny. You'll hear them talk about Vine, coincidentally. But as a current thing, and they're talking about the Obama presidency as a current thing, and they're talking about the elections as they're happening, and how basically they're almost dismissing Trump as ever getting in. But
really?
It's called about yeah, because they didn't think it was happening.
Okay. Happen.
But, it's called, the short title is called Our National Conversation About Conversations About Race.
That's the short title?
Well, I guess the really short one is about race.
Okay.
It was a Panoply, which is again another podcast network, I guess, kind of thing, depending on how you look at it. And it ran between 2015 and 2017 for approximately 2 years.
Okay.
I think it was my favorite podcast at the time. Yeah, up to the point is there are very few podcasts that I go back and I listen to old episodes. Like when people say they do it with my podcast, I don't get why. It's like, oh, I listen to your podcast. And then I've gone back and listened to all the old episodes. I'm like, why? It's a topical podcast. Why would you go back and listen to
it? Oh, I do that all the time.
I don't. Especially on a topic. I don't get it. The only time I do it is if it's a story podcast or you know, where I have to listen to it from the beginning.
I completely get it. Because especially if it's past events, because you kind of know the context because it's happened in the past, but you're listening to hear people's opinions and talk on it. So yeah, I do that all the time. I went back and listened to your old episodes.
I'm in shock.
Yeah.
Well, especially our old ones. With the audio was poor.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I struggled on a few of those ones.
Very poor. But we were working off one mic.
Yes, and, I could tell.
Yeah, good old days. This podcast is, so basically what it is, it's like a cross-section between politics and social issues and I don't know how to explain it. They spoke my language. It was about race. It's having different cultures coming together, discussing race and the nuances about it, but as it pertains to society as a whole. And I don't know. I digged it at the time. I was very unhappy to see it go. And it is a podcast that I can still go back to now, 3 years after it's finished. Three and a half years after it's finished, and go back to an episode that was aired 5 years ago. And it will still resonate with me. It's still like, yeah, this is good. So even though it's done, it was only 2 years. They had about two episodes a week. Or one episode a week, actually, kind of thing. It was an on-off kind of... You'll see if you listen to it. But it's called About Race. It was by Panoply, and then they cancelled it in 2017 for reasons that I don't know.
So, I feel like you contradicted yourself. You said that you find it weird that people go back and listen to past episodes, but you're listening to old content as well.
Yeah, I did say it. This is one of the podcasts that the reason I brought it up that I don't do it is because I said this podcast was so good that I did it with this one. It goes the same for, I think, every single podcast that I've bigged up here, that I've given as a recommendation. They are all podcasts that actually go back and listen to old episodes, which is why I'm actually recommending them, because they're that good. For if I am the type of person that doesn't even understand why somebody else would do it, if I'm telling you to do it, it's because it's good enough to do it.
Okay, so you do understand why people do it. Okay, cool.
But the thing with me is most of the ones I do are not necessarily, I guess this last one is a bit topical, but I think the ideas kind of cross time, whereas they're not talking about, oh, Madonna's new album and the album's 7 years old. It's like, why would I listen to that? It's not important anymore. It's about things that will resonate throughout time, even though they were talking about it then. But yes, I concede. You're right.
Okay. That's all I need to hear.
Yeah, cool. I thought as much.
So my tip, I've got two. I don't know which one to go with.
It's the last episode, man. Do it both.
Do I like? It's true. So I came across this Instagram account called Content is Queen HQ. I'm actually going to try to approach them actually to be on a podcast. So I'm going to say it on the show, so it will come into fruition. So they are a podcast production company, and they also share a lot of like useful tips as well. And one of the things that they did a post on was about how to repurpose your podcast content. So basically you record your episodes, how to get the most out of it. So they talk about creating show notes or blogs. So we talked about transcription, but, you know, actually turning like an episode into a blog post. Utilizing your content on social media, so using like audiograms to kind of like share like, you know, interesting sound bites from your podcast. Also, it's a good thing that helps to promote discussion online, incorporating video for those that want to do visuals. I won't be doing that. And also potentially making a highlights reels or having a best of episode as well. So where you take some clips from old episodes to create new content. Yes. So yes. Yeah,
we know what a best of is.
Well, it's everything, isn't it?
No, yeah, that's a good, in particular that first idea, the transcript one, making blogs.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's my podcasting tip. So I think it's really important that, especially with someone like yourself, Stab, you've got hours and hours of like audio content. It's like, you know, how to utilize that to reach a new audience. And I have a blog with my podcast, and definitely I've noticed that I've gotten new listeners via the blog who have read a blog post and then thought, okay, I'll listen to an episode. So yeah. And should I go with my second tip?
Go for it.
So my second tip is to, I'm going to just ask everybody that has a podcast to make sure they've backed up their audio. I was thinking about this recently. So we are, as Expansion Pod, we host our content on Anchor because it's free and we don't want to spend any money. But if Anchor was to disappear tomorrow or was to be bought by another company, it's like, where's your audio? So I encourage everybody to back up and save their audio content, because that's your IP. Make sure you have it. So that's it.
You can back up on Audible. Anchor as well, I believe. I think you can.
I think you can. Yeah, you can download all your content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're only 10 episodes, so it's not the biggest in the world. But no. if you're 200 episodes in, it would be very long-winded to have to go through one by one. Maybe there's a bulk way they can do it, I don't know, but yeah, make sure you do it individually as it goes along.
Definitely.
And although all our content is on Anchor, I do actually have them all here on my laptop. Just going to I'll upload it to my hard drive as well, and that's at home. So It'll be in two different places. You should really back up your content in three places, they say.
And keep it in a fireproof box.
If you have one of those and a safe.
Lying around. Yeah. I was waiting for you to be like, yes, I have that.
I don't know. No.
Okay, fine.
But one in the cloud, one local, and one locked away somewhere. That's the idea.
Mm.
So we'll see. Okay, my tip is about audio quality.
Mm.
Believe it or not. I realized when, I think when we restarted ESN season 2, so 4 years ago, that because the sound quality increased so much more from the first season, but I wanted it to be perfect, I realized that it was different on every avenue that I was listening to. So I mentioned this to you before, that in a car, whereas my brother mentioned something about our audio and he said that one of us sounds better than the other. And I said, I think it's because he listens in a car.
Well, he didn't just say one of us. He was very specific of who sounds better.
Okay, well, yes. It has to be specific if it's one out of two.
Exactly. You're making it sound like it was a mystery. He said I sounded terrible, but yeah, go ahead.
I was trying to be diplomatic. Shade did not need to be thrown in the last couple of minutes of the pod, but I said because I know he listens mostly to podcasts in his car and when he's in the gym and whatnot. The car stereo is geared towards one kind of sound.
Mm.
Home speakers are geared towards another kind of sound. Your headphone speakers are geared towards another kind of sound. And then your phone speaker is geared towards another sound too. I've found a way for my podcast to, let's say, EQ it to the point where for all of them, it sounds good. I think the hardest ones to have them for are the speaker in the house and the speaker in the car. Because the speaker in the car, for whatever reason, you think for music it's geared for music and even for radio. But once you have good quality audio, all of a sudden it sounds different.
Mm.
So when I was editing my podcast back in the day, I would play them in each of these formats. Again, your car, your home speaker, headphones, and your phone speaker, as in out loud on the speaker on the phone. And if it sounds good on all of those four, you're good to go. If it doesn't sound good on one of them or two of them, then maybe you need to tweak your audio a lot. This is if you are the type of person to edit and process your audio after, like I do. Some people obviously just record it and you put it out. Even like Joe Budden podcast, biggest podcast in the world. There's so much fuzz in the background. If you actually listen to it, because like I said, I ain't been listening for a while, but I listen to it again and it's like, oh my days, all the fuzz. But it is what it is. I think their turnaround is very quick. Yeah, their turnaround is very quick. So I guess they just record and bang it out. So it is with it. But this is getting posted in 2 hours and there will be no fuzz in this podcast. There will be no fuzz in this podcast. And so it is what it is. Anyway, that's my tip. So to make sure your audio quality is good, check out all those formats.
Yeah. Good one. And I think for season 2, or while we're on this break, we will look at how we can share some of this information really easily with the listeners. So I think we were looking at maybe having a downloadable like document or something so we can share with you, or doing like a YouTube, screen recording. I don't know, but we'll work it out.
I've just realized I have another tip.
Oh, go for it.
If you do start a podcast with somebody else, make sure she is not a workaholic, so she adds more work onto your plate than is necessary, because you just want to go away and rest. Yeah. I'm going on holiday in a few days. That's what I want to do.
Those not people do are the worst.
Tutorials.
Yeah. Those people are so annoying.
But no. If you want to be successful, that's what you need to do. Yeah. You need to work. That's where the success comes. It don't come from not working.
Yeah. Okay. All right. No, it's a good tip though. I like it.
All right, well.
Okay, so this is not goodbye, just au revoir for now.
Okay, yeah, so long.
Bye.
Bye bye. So now this podcast is done. Let me think of my next one now.
If I see online that you started a podcast, I'm just going to jump on the hashtag and just start trolling everybody.
Why?
No, it's fine. Go ahead. It's fine.
I don't belong to you.
They always come back, so it's fine.
Who's they? And where are they? If they've come back.
They're on their way back.